Thank you for this wonderful church, that your hand, that blesses your heart. And I pray that as we just, as I just do talk or speak, that the Holy Spirit will just take over and heal the sick, set people who are bound free. Lord, open people's hearts to another dimension of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. It's something like 29, 30 years ago that I first came here. And I still feel the same way about this church as I did then. There was something in my spirit that picked something up in this church then and continues to this day. And that is, I've always been running churches, so it could never happen. I thought, I'd love to be a part of that church. Not as a preacher, but as a member of the congregation. There's something in my spirit that really connects with this church. And I don't say that to... I go all over the country, and if I had a bit more time, the world. And I can't say that very much at all. But I just want you to know that the Lord's really on this church. And it's been a puzzle to me. And I always, when I go into many situations, I get words from the Lord for the churches. And sometimes the Lord will say, look, that church needs to sort that out or do this. And in a very kind way, I'll probably say, you know, just think about doing this and I'll help you with that. With this church, it's been a puzzle to me because all the boxes are ticked. And yet... I've often gone away and said, Lord, that church has got such an endowment of the Holy Spirit on it. It should be seeing an enormously more fruit than it's seeing. And I felt very strongly a couple of years ago, that it's to do with the heavenlies. It's to do with, you know, like you've got atmospheres and stratospheres. Well, one of those spheres is demon spheres. Okay, powers and principalities spheres. And I can say this now, as I've been coming in recent years and you've been in the college, as beautiful as the college was, I felt the Lord say, this is for them. It's a nice place, but for them, it's a coffin. Well, the Lord's taken the lid off the coffin, right? And we're going to do something today that will break something in the heavens. There'll be a shift in the climate, and there'll be a visitation. Okay? So I'm not into just doing a nice talk to you. I want to see a shift so that all that is here, that's quite wonderful, sees a spillover of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, you know, if it encourages you, and she says, I encourage you. Well, it's very easy to encourage you. I have seen amazing outpourings of the Holy Spirit. In fact, right now, we're in... experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take a little bit longer, but I'm trying to stop being a local pastor. I've been trying to stop for 10 years now. But we've had a few little hiccups, but there's been a fresh move of the Holy Spirit of recent years, at least this last 12 months. The fastest growing age group has been between 12 and 35. And I sense the Lord's going to bring families in next. And we're just seeing a move of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we have seen overnight empty churches filled up. Overnight. And, but I want to tell you this, I've seen all that, but we're not as far spiritually as far on as you. I mean, I would expect a revival around here. What God's deposited in you. Amen. Amen. So we'll do something in this talk, and something's going to break in the heavens. Okay? And praise God. The other thing I want to say, separate to what I'm going to talk about, is one of the things that's happened in our church, people come to me and they say, I feel the Lord saying this. So I say, okay, let's pilot it. And the 18s to 30s, there's a few 31s in it, by the way. You know, bit dodgy whether they should be in that bracket. But came to me and said, we feel the Lord wants on Sunday night, to do just a worship and prayer meeting. Right. So we did it for the first time last month. There was just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One of the worship leaders was 15 years of age. I mean, I'm getting to the stage where I'm starting to feel like old Father Time in our church. But I think they now I'm guessing, and we want this every week. I'm all for that, but we just, the practicalities are a little bit tricky at the moment. But I would like, and I will speak to the young people, well, they're not young people, they're half of the church. I will speak to them, and I would like you as a church to lead one of those worship nights. See, I've always wanted you guys to help me out. But I've realised that you're firefighting here, and it's very tricky for you to do that. Sue is an amazing speaker. We've got some amazing speakers in our church that are 30. This isn't Sue, by the way. That are 30 years younger than me. Although she probably does look 30 years younger than me. Hallelujah. Father, I just love this church. I love this people. I love their hunger for your presence. I love the fact that you've stripped them from any sense of agenda and politics. I love, Lord, that they have a heart for the lost. I love that they make space for the Holy Spirit in their services. And now, Lord, as I speak, I pray the Holy Spirit will get into this and really move upon us. And break open heaven upon Ormskirk and Ormskirk Christian Fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, sorry to that, but I needed to say that. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Now, you're all cleverer than me because you're university town, this place, isn't it? So you'll know all this, but you will know that 1,000 years ago, nobody could read. Most people couldn't read. When the Roman Empire collapsed, so did all the educational institutions except one, the church. It was the only source of education. There was no mass media or ability to reproduce things. Everything was completely desecrated, except for the organized church. So when the gospel penetrated Britain and in the Middle Ages, what we call the Dark Ages, they call the Dark Ages because everything educationally collapsed. And no one could read. So when you get St. Patrick and the Celts, and the various groups and the early Roman pioneers and the indigenous church, all rising up to see God move upon their generation, they had a problem because everybody was illiterate. They had a problem because most of them didn't have a Bible. And so what they did was, those early monks, they thought, how can we penetrate the society with the gospel and make sure every person from, to put it in Wycliffe's form, even a ploughboy can understand the gospel. So, although he was coming at the edge of the what was called the Age of Enlightenment. So what they did, they looked at the calendar, they looked at the culture of the nation they were in, and they thought, what we'll do is we will make sure, because we can read and we've got a limited access to scripture, what we will do is at certain parts of the year, we will tell the gospel story. And that way, at least once a year, everybody will know about where Jesus was born, what he did in his life, the things he went through, and his death and resurrection. And so you get, because even if they could read the average man and woman, everything was written in Latin. So they started to cut up the calendar so they'd get the gospel in right round. So the part of the year that they wanted to get the birth of Christ in, Christmas. And then the part of the year where it talked about, you know, sacrifice and self-denial and all, they put in Lent. Then the little part of the year, they'd cover the section of the death and the resurrection, Easter. And of course, all these dates have no synchronization with the actual dates in the Bible. Jesus was probably born late October. Now, we are in the season of Pentecost. And so, with that in mind, I want us to read Acts chapter 2. I was brought up in a church that told me everything about the gospel except the Holy Spirit. And needless to say, I was powerless, worldly, secular, bound, and me, I was actually demonized. So missing the Holy Spirit out was like missing the hub of a wheel. The spokes went nowhere. So I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. And then I want to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire with speaking in tongues. Okay? I'm unapologetic for this, but I know it's the Holy Spirit that we need. Jesus died on the cross, and he said, I'll send you a helper, so he'll do it for you. Amen. A life, a Christian life, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like a car without petrol. It might be beautiful. The seating might be deluxe. It might be worth £50,000. But it's got no petrol in it. It's going nowhere. It's taking people nowhere. And it's not serving its purpose. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we frequently need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I filled my car up last week. And as I was driving here, I sort of thought, this is quite a way. That I had to check the petrol gauge. I was just checking. I've got a little reserve tank. You know, and it's nice to have a little reserve tank of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You know, and we need refilling. Amen. And there will be people here who need a fresh touch of heaven on their lives. So I want to create space for that. So let's just read the scripture that the monks would have read in Latin and then tell them about it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, godly people, religious people, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused, and everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, aren't all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our own language, which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, basically the whole of the Mediterranean world." And then verse 12, and they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're drunk." Oh, men might not like that. Full of new wine. Nice. Got nice religious ways of putting it, isn't it? You know, if you get tested by the police, just say, he said, "Look, you're over the limit." You just say, "No, I'm full of new wine." They had a bit too much to drink. That's what they think. Okay, I just want to a remark on this, and then I want to pray for people. Okay? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God has a watch. God has a timing. God has a timing for this church. God has a timing for this, for your life. You know, I'm saying to God, "Well, what's going on here? We should be seeing a revival in Ormskirk. You've poured out your Holy Spirit. These people are amazing. This church is amazing. What's going on?" You know what's going on? The day of Pentecost has to fully come. God's organizing the building blocks in this town, in this community, in your life, in your family, and he's shuffling it right now. Right now in our country, he's shuffling the pack of cards. Who knows what's going to come up next? Amen. But I know that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. That's my political agenda. Hallelujah. So now you know who I'm, what party I'm in. I'm in a union, the union of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm a unionist. Hallelujah. And God, I want to tell you, God's time is near for this town and for your life. That things he's promised, things that have been covered over with dust, things that you think he's forgotten about, things that you have given up on. The clock, God's clock is starting to move like Big Ben, and it's going to strike, and God will outpour his Holy Spirit, and he will do the job for you. That's great, isn't it? I'm all for that, him doing the job for me. I got a nickname when I was a Baptist minister, you know. They used to call me Pastor Book. You're international, you won't understand that. But it means you have incredible powers of delegation. Hallelujah. Timing. God's got his timing on your life, on your church, on Ormskirk, and God is going to outpour his Holy Spirit on you and through you, and then God will do the job. And you'll only have to sneeze and the sick will be healed. Came back from Africa. And you know, I like to see that I've got a heart for the lost. I have a love for the lost. I don't just want to be sitting in church having a nice, happy time with Christians. I want to see the lost saved, the brokenhearted healed, the sick healed, you know, the bound delivered. You know, I'm into all that. And I get to this Baptist church that's got 18 people. All over 55. I'm only 30. I'm only 30 odd. 33, I think. I thought, great, great. And then I went to this meeting and the Lord gave me and Sue a prophetic word. Do nothing for 3 years. Imagine me. Do not. I need a miracle to not come out. I've got an idea every 5 seconds. So I said, well, Lord, what am I going to do then? Do nothing for 3 years. I've got 15 old people here. He said, look, he gave us a verse. Sue will tell you it one day. But basically it says, do nothing for 2 years. And then on the third year, pull the plugs out. So I thought, what am I going to do for 2 years? He said, just get the church right and everything functioning well. I said, oh, that's just great. Within 9 months. In fact, it was one of those churches where it had shrunk so much, there were whole rooms full of chairs stacked away so it didn't look empty. Within 9 months, we'd run out of chairs. People would just get off the bus in the middle of the week. I'd just be walking through the church praying because I lived on the property. They'd knock, they'd come through while I'm praying. And I'd say, what do you want? They'd say, I want to be a Christian. Oh, I could tell you story after story like that. By the time we got to the 2 years, there was no space to do any evangelism. Hallelujah. So God is here to outpour his Holy Spirit on you. I'll just share this because we were there about less than a month and I had a friend who went to a big church in Sydney, Australia. We are talking about 1988, 87. And they flew over from Church on the Way, which was the big California church before Bethel. They just come from there. They walk into our church. There's 15 old people. And they have a little girl, a 10-year-old girl. And we did the morning service. And then we have an afternoon service. There's even less there. And their names are Wally and Elaine. And they had their little daughter. I can't remember. She's about 9. And as we were having dinner, he said to us, oh, my daughter's got a beautiful voice. Can she sing? And I thought, I've heard this before. I've had some, my wife's great singer. And, you know, he's basically in love with his wife. The wife can't even sing a note in tune. Have you ever had that situation? Anyway, this is what I was going through. But I thought, but there's only 15 old people. It'll do them the world of good to see a little 9-year-old kid. So I said, yes, she can do it. Anyway, she stood up, no music or anything. And as she sang, the Holy Spirit was singing over the church. I knew as she was singing, just like any normal 9-year-old. And she said, and the words of the song were, I can see her singing this little kid over this empty church. I'm sitting there in my black suit. And she's singing, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And this mountain shall be removed, and I will pour out my Holy and my Spirit on you. And I knew God was coming. Well, I want to tell you that word's for you. Pour out his Holy Spirit. He has on you as a people. But I mean to see amazing changes. Hallelujah. I've gone off my sermon. And there's the clock. Right. Okay. The Pede of Pentecost. And they were all with one accord in one place. You know when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? What we don't realize is that scripture comes during the day, in the evening. It's the Last Supper, of course, but in the day before the Last Supper, what we don't realize when we read our Bible, because the chapters and verses were put in the 13th century, okay? So, but what we don't realize is before they got to the Last Supper, where Jesus has washed their feet, there'd been a bit of an argument among the disciples. The argument was, well, when the kingdom comes, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to have the top spot. And Jesus is hearing Peter, James, John, whoever, and the sons of thunder. They must have been great to have in a church. I've had a few of them in my time. And they're all going at it. And as you know, he pulls them up and he says, but then later on that evening, when they go in and they have the, he washes their feet and he says, this is my model for leadership. So the crowd that Jesus had gathered, there was no the reason the day of Pentecost hadn't fully come, he had to sort out the agendas, the motivation, until they were just broken, open, hungry. Receptive, teachable, all of one accord. No one sitting around thinking anymore, I want the top spot. I want to be the big boy round town. They'd all got to the stage as we've got nothing left, Lord Jesus, besides you. And if you don't help us, it's over. Amen. The midnight of the soul, where it's either God or we're finished. Amen. That's when the day of Pentecost fully comes. That was what the delay was all about. God's got to deal with our hearts, so he takes us out of the equation and it's replaced with him. So they were all with one accord. When brethren dwell together in unity, Psalm 133, there the Lord commands the blessing. When God breaks a church or breaks our hearts or brings us to a point of the end of ourselves, it's a terrible place. I don't really like preaching on it. I only like the happy bits of the Bible, but I have to tell you the whole story, and that is it searches our hearts. It makes us into receptive people where God can come close and just fall on us. And so they're all there with one accord, with no agenda. The politics have gone out of everything. The personal interest is long gone. The agendas are all sitting on the shelf. And then they hear, and then suddenly. Listen, one of the things you must understand is that we see things from this point of view. You know, that we're going along, we think this is going to take forever. And this is, I'm getting fed up, I'm getting tired, there's no energy left. I this, that and the other. And I want to tell you, there are moments where God, one day, God moves suddenly. Look at the general election. And suddenly, amen. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? But the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. And people say, why are you so optimistic? Well, the Bible says we win. The Bible says the devil hasn't got a chance. And I believe that. And I'll tell you why I believe it. I was 2 weeks, I'd been delivered from demons, filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't know the Bible, was, you know, I was at the bottom of the religious pile because I wasn't, I'd walk into churches and people would witness to me because I'd look so needy. The Holy Ghost came upon me. And I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I didn't. Went to bed. I had this dream. And in the dream, I saw the earth filled with the glory of the Lord. I'd seen it. I was frightened to open my eyes in the bedroom because I thought Jesus was at the foot of the bed. I was terrified. And there was either an angel or it was Jesus. And I wasn't a Christian, you know, I haven't been a Christian. I'd only been a Christian 14 days. Amen. And suddenly, I don't know what you're going through, but God can just move suddenly. We're going to ask him to move suddenly. You know, if it was me, I have a little, the way I pray to the Lord, you know, if I was in charge of this church, you know, I'd probably have to repent because the opening prayer would probably be like this. Lord, I feel as if I've waited long enough, but I'll wait forever if you want me to. And suddenly, and then it says this, and then there was a sound from heaven. You see, when God gets rid of our agendas and our fixed mindsets and our personal interest and our confidence in our own ability, we'll start to hear sounds from heaven. You know, people come to me and they say, I've just told you, they come to me and they say, we feel God wants to start a cafe or a language school or a music school or a football academy. And we've done all those sort of things. And I say to them all, I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it for 3 months. And we'll pilot it. And let's see if God... Now, what I'm looking for, I'll try anything. But what I'm looking for is the touch of God on it. That's what I'm looking for. These prayer and worship things, that's what I'm looking for. Is there a touch of God on it? And you see, there's certain things that you'll do. And you know, God wants you to be entrepreneurial and try things out. But assess them. And don't feel you have to do something. Ride a dead horse forever. If the horse is dead, get on the one that's running, going somewhere. But what I'd say is this, as we've done certain things, there's been a sound from heaven. Bells are ringing in heaven. This is what God wants to do. And I heard one bell this prayer and worship night. I want a few more bells. But there's a sound from heaven. Listen for the sound from heaven. Because it's a bell that rings that God is going to move suddenly. Lord, will you show? I pray, Lord, that there'll be a sound from heaven. A sound, the Bible says in the Old Testament, a sound of jubilee. A sound when the bells ring and the bound are released. The poor are enriched. The broken are healed, the sick are raised up, the lost are saved. Father, we pray there'd be a sound from heaven on Ormskirk. Amen. You know, I've heard preachers preach, I'm a bit like it today, where they go all over the place. And I haven't understood a word they've said. But they've dropped something out. And it's been a sound from heaven. I remember we were Baptist ministry. When there's a Baptist ministry, he said, oh, let's get the Baptist Union Church growth guy in. So we brought him in on a Wednesday night. And he spoke for about an hour. I didn't have a clue what he'd said because I was so bored. My brain went into lock, you know. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, this is great. And it probably cost us a fortune as well. Terribly worldly mindset, you know. And then he said this. And when he said it, it was a sound from heaven. He said, we've found that if you want to see church growth, take children's work seriously. So that's why we paid him to come, Lord, that's it. Listen for the sound from heaven. God's going to speak to you. In fact, I feel corrected in my spirit in saying that to you because he's saying to me, God has spoke to you already. God spoke to you. I don't know what he said, but just as I said, God will speak to you. He said to me, correction, Dave, God has spoken to them. I don't know what he is. I get these ridiculous words of knowledge. And I give them to people and I say, I've got no idea what it's about. You know, I'm making this one up. I haven't got it from the Lord. But I might get a word, something like, I'm praying for someone, the Lord say, to give them this word, travail. I say, I don't know what this means. We've got this word for you. So what is it? I say, well, I don't even travail. And then right away, the bulbs go on. I've got friends I know that when they give prophetic words, it's not like mine. They'll say, on Wednesday morning, you get on a red bus, you'll get off, you'll meet Billy, and this, that, and the other. Well, I don't get them. I just get one word stuff. I rely on the Holy Spirit to flesh it out. Amen. And then there was a rushing, mighty wind. Amen. Suddenly, immediately, sound from heaven. Then there was a rushing. Now listen, it wasn't gentle. It was a hurricane in the room. Amen.
Yeah.
Sue will tell you, Sue's a lot more open than me. I've had to come drag kicking across things. So I've had very fixed ideas about the way the Lord's moved over my time. And I like everything to just go nice, orderly way. But I'm telling you, when God moves suddenly, there's disturbance. It disturbs the way you think people should pray, the way things should go, what God should do. I'm telling you, it turns it all up on its head.
Yes.
We had it in the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We had a friend come to the church, and he said, "I've been blessed. Can I just come and share it? Because he's a fellow minister, and he's my mate." I said, "Yeah, come." We're in the prayer meeting. We'd only been started 2 minutes. The prayer meeting was an hour and a half. You know, it was a night, evening. And we'd only started 2 minutes. He said, "I'm ready to go now." I said, "Look, what do you mean you're ready to go? Let's have a couple of choruses and this." He said, "No, I'm ready to go now." So because he was my friend, I said, "Okay, well, let's finish this song off and I'll get you on." So we finished the song off. He stands up, and I'm thinking, this is great. It's 7:40. We finish at 9:30. I hope he's not going to be an hour and a half talking. And then he stands up, and all my people were all just saved. You know what I mean? I think I'd only just given them a Bible. And he stands up and he said, "You know what? God's really blessed me. And if God had you'd like God to bless you, come out." That was it. So it was 22 minutes past eight. I think, goodness me, we've got another hour and 20 minutes to fill. And of course, because they're all non-Christians, they're all that are just saved. They haven't got any preconceived ideas. They're just saying, in for a penny, in for a pound, you know. So everybody pours out except me, because I'm Mr. Suspicion. You know, as the Baptist minister wondering what's going on, the Holy Spirit just falls on the place. These people aren't Pentecostals. They're only just saved. They don't know what you do in church or what you don't do in church. They're weeping, laughing, falling sideways or flat down, backwards. And I don't even believe in falling over. And what capped it? I'm standing there, stunned. And the deacon of the church comes up to me and says, "I'm so happy, Dave. Do I have the permission to do cartwheels across the room?" The windows are open. People from outside the church are coming, excited. What's going on? I try to stop it. Because an hour and a half goes like 5 minutes. And I always think we finish at 9:30. And these people have got to get the bus home. God's pouring out his Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking about, will he get the bus home? And then... So I do what every Baptist minister does when they want to bring a bit of order into chaos. You say, "Shall we have a nice cup of tea?" They all look at me. And because I'm the pastor, they reluctantly comply. They get the cups out, they get the thing out. And I'm thinking, that was close. We're drinking the cup of tea, and then God drops again. I said, "Well, that's it, Lord. You can. I'm not worrying about them getting home on the bus." I could tell you more, because in that meeting, I'm standing there, and the guy said, "I feel we should pray for the pastor." I'm thinking, oh, no. I'm out on the floor in a position I didn't even believe in. Heaven just rolls over and over and over. I could hardly stand up for 3 days under the weight of the glory of God, because God came like a rushing, mighty wind. Amen. I like this type of Christianity. I actually have concluded that it's the only type of Christianity there really is. Okay, I'll finish at some point here. And they were, and fire sat on them. God wants fire sitting on you. God wants fire sitting on your ministry. God wants fire sitting on your church. God wants fire sitting on your life. It's great to know the four spiritual laws and the four points, and I use them all the time. But what really transforms people's lives and communities and takes people out of darkness to light is not just our formulas, which may be okay. It's the fire. People are touched by fire. In a minute, I want to pray for the Holy Spirit and fire to come on people. Amen. Doesn't mean you shout. I do, because, who knows? I don't know. I've given up psychoanalyzing myself. I'm telling you, something in you, and when people are next to you, they come alive. It's not what you say anymore, it's what you carry. Amen. It's not what you speak anymore, it's what you impart. Oh, get ready. This church, I'm going to be praying for you for the Lord to come suddenly. Amen. And if I retire and I've got, we're in the area, we'll become a member, not a leader, a member, and I'll sit and listen to you. Amen. Amen. I have a bias towards you. I like you. Dave Mutch's jokes need a little bit of a tweak. Other than that, it's great. Hallelujah. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they started to speak in tongues. I'm finishing there. I could go on forever, but I don't need to go on, for the talk was a prelude to the fact that God wants to move. I want the worship group to just come out. Now, probably you're all believers like they were in the upper room. So what I'm going to do right now might not apply to you, but there may be one person who hasn't